Chapter 6, Biblical Repentance. The professing church believes in a false repentance that is spewed from the pulpits week after week. I like to call it the, quote, Billy Graham repentance, end quote, which involves a, quote, sinner's prayer that is found nowhere in the Bible. It's a shallow, worldly sorrow that leads to this, quote, repentance and does not save. In this chapter, I will clearly explain what true biblical repentance from sin unto holiness really is. This chapter might very well be the steering you need to come to true repentance. Repentance was central to Jesus' mission as spelled out in all four Gospels. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth until the very end, he preached repentance. When Jesus started his ministry, as we clearly see in Mark and Matthew, he called people to repent and believe. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 say, quote, Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Repent means to turn from and cease from sin. Jesus' very first words in his ministry on earth was to call people to repentance. The apostles did exactly the same. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, quote, From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, end quote. Jesus clearly states whom he is calling to repentance. We see in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, quote, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, end quote. Jesus, in fact, called entire cities to repentance, as we see in Mark chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. It says, quote, And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent, end quote. As Jesus was departing the earth, he yet again clarified that his disciples ought to preach repentance. We see this in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 48. It says, quote, And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. End quote. When the Apostle John received the book of Revelation from Jesus after his revelation, Jesus spoke yet again in seven letters to seven churches and calls them to repent eight times. Do you see how important repentance is to the Lord Jesus and to your very soul? Many deceivers believe that God forces one to repent and that man has absolutely no say at all. They do not believe in man's free will. They do not believe that man has to choose to repent and do the, quote, first works. The Bible rebukes these heretics. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5 says, quote, Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent, end quote. One is, quote, saved by grace through faith, end quote, through the experience of genuine repentance, which endures till the end. Without true repentance, there is no grace. Without the requisite change of mind and heart, one simply cannot exercise the biblical faith necessary in order to experience the quickening of grace. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, quote, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, end quote. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, quote, Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, end quote. No repentance equals no transformation equals no salvation. Sinners must be humbled and therefore brought to what can be figuratively called the, quote, lowest room. It's from there that a, quote, raising up may occur. Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11 says, quote, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit in the lowest room, that when he had bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. End quote. Watch the conditions for repentance in these next verses. This is the soul that will receive his grace, not a, quote, saved sinner that still willfully, quote, sins daily as the 99% plus Main Street churches preach today. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10 says, quote, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, the sinner, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh, which means draw close to God, and then he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, which means stop sinning, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep all conditions. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and then he shall lift you up. End quote. The missing link in these Main Street churches is true biblical repentance. What is it? The Bible clearly explains in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 11, quote, for godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world leads to death. Verse 11 says, for behold, this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yeah, what clearing of yourselves. Yes, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal. Yes, what revenge. In all things, you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. End quote. Do you see what repentance entails from those verses? It's not some sinner's prayer where the pastor says, repeat after me. It's not worldly sorrow where you go to God to get what you want from him. It's a total clearing, a vehement desire, a clearing of yourselves from all sin and wickedness. Then salvation can take place. For true repentance to have taken place, the following must have occurred. Number one, a season of deep felt godly sorrow for sin, invoked by the Spirit of Truth, John 16:8. A crisis of conviction that cuts to the heart, sin already being forsaken. A zeal to clear oneself of all wrongdoing against God, making restitution if necessary. Indignation and fear that leads to vehement desire to stop sinning. And finally, number five, approve yourself with purity of heart, as we read in 2 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11, and James 4, 7 through 10. Every incident of repentance in Scripture follows this process. Don't let anyone tell you it doesn't. And they will most certainly try. The sin stops at repentance. The old man dies here. The flesh is crucified here, not afterwards, as most will try to tell you. The desires and conduct are changed here, or they never will be. Obedience to God follows in newness of life, and, quote, all things are become new, end quote. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 6 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, end quote. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, quote, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, which means the sin and sinful desires, are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, end quote. If you have not experienced this and have no idea what it means, you are not born of the Spirit. You've simply not been born again in your false repentance. You may have indeed, quote, received Christ and, quote, believed on his name, repeated some words, went through the motions, but the devils also believe, as we see in James chapter 2, verse 19. Quote, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble, end quote. Don't let anyone tell you differently. The Bible clearly states a person is saved by what he does and not by, quote, faith alone, as many preach falsely. True faith means being faithful. They wrest scripture and do not preach the whole counsel of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 27, quote, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, end quote. We can never throw out some scripture to make our own doctrine. It's either all or nothing. James chapter 2, verse 24 says, quote, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only, end quote. The what he does part starts with repentance, a clearing of yourselves as explained in 2 Corinthians 7:11, and a cleansing of your hands as per James 4:8, etc. Acts chapter 26, verse 20 says, quote, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds, which means works, end quote. Repentance lays the necessary foundation whereby the will of an individual actually becomes workable unto God. A wild horse must be broken before it will submit to a rider. Likewise, a wild and self-willed sinner must be broken, Matthew 21:44, before they will submit to God. When submitted to and abiding in God, the sensual, intellectual, and emotional aspects of a human being become ordered and functional. One does not act on their worldly emotions and feelings anymore. They are led by the Spirit of the living God. Repentance gives access and thus allows one to effectively utilize the transforming power of saved by grace through faith. The Bible teaches repentance for remissions of sins because sin remittance, which means justification, is conditioned upon the manifest state of an individual's heart, works, actions, and fruit. In Acts, we read in chapter 3, verse 19, quote, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out where times of refreshing shall come in the presence of the Lord, end quote. It's in this order, repentance, conversion, refreshing. Repentance brings about a conversion whereupon refreshing can take place. Refreshing from the Greek, anapsuxex, means properly a recovery of breath, that is figuratively revival. The refreshing is the heart change or new birth experience which is brought about by man yielding the Spirit of God being received within, being that a new heart is no longer rebellious towards God. It is therefore not operating in discordance with reality. The true self within, having come into alignment with its proper function, is designed by God. It is then that God is willing to look past the previous improper function and thus be merciful in regards to, quote, sins that are past, as we previously read in Romans 3:25, and purge from, quote, old sins, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. It is for this reason that the Bible teaches repentance for remission as opposed to a provision for remission. The will or yielding of heart is what changes in repentance, while the new birth encompasses the love of God being shed abroad within the heart. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, quote, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, end quote. The Bible does not teach a substitutional provision for remission. a notion in which the underlying factor pertaining to the remission of sins is a, quote, positive legal adjustment. The idea of a provision in such a context completely circumvents addressing the true condition of the heart. Under repentance for remission, an individual enters in the new covenant. In other words, he draws near with a true heart, as we see in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22. It says, quote, let us draw near with the true heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, end quote. Via the blood, as we see in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, quote, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, end quote, and thus receives both the cleansing of past sins, Acts 3:19, Hebrews 10:17 and 22, 2 Peter 1:9, and experiences the law being written upon the heart and in the mind, as we see in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 22, the imprint which then saves an individual from present sin. Let's read the glorious truth in totality. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 23, it says, quote, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now where remissions of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, end quote. True in the Greek means truthful or true, amen? The word repentance is from the Greek word metanoia. Repentance means compunction from guilt, by implication, reversal. Repentance. In Greek, meter pertains to change, while noia pertains to thought. Repentance is the change of one mind as it pertains to sin, righteousness, and judgment. God is willing to grant mercy to those who would both confess and forsake their sin, and those whom would forsake wickedness and unrighteousness in order to embrace righteousness. That is the whole counsel of God's word. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, quote, and he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy, end quote. Isaiah 55, 7 says, quote, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, end quote. Repentance is where we are to figuratively die with Christ and putting off our old sinful man, the old way of conducting ourselves, living in sin, and choosing to live righteous unto God. Paul teaches this by presenting us with several parallels. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 7 says, quote, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in, we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. End quote. Again, Jesus came to free captives from sin, not in sin. Listen closely to these verses. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36 says, quote, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, Whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. End quote. How can one believe they are a saved sinner when the Bible clearly states that one that commits sin is a servant of sin? How about, quote, he that committeth sin is of the devil, end quote. Let's read 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 through 10. It says, end quote, every man that has hope in him purifies himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. Whosoever therefore commits sin also transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Jesus does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. End quote. These loving truths are not preached in the false church today for one reason, to get your money, as spelled out in 2 Peter chapter 2. If you have not read this chapter, as I suggested before, please read it. Finally, many have, quote, knowledge, but never come to true repentance, which is truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 says, quote, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be the lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, true Christians, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The ability to be truly saved from sin. From such, the Bible says, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly woman laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. End quote. I pray you now understand what true biblical repentance is, and if need be, repent the way Jesus commands, which leads to life.